afternoon. I would like to share my research project that was completed as part of my doctorate degree in occupational therapy from Washington University in St. Louis. This project highlights the objective and subjective measures of community participation, specifically for people with lower limb mobility impairments. This project was completed in part at the Enabling Mobility Center in St. Louis, which is a joint effort between Paraquad and Independent Living Center and the Washington University School of Medicine Program in Occupational Therapy. I'd also like to mention several people who helped me with this research, including my mentor, Dr. David Gray, Dr. Holly Hollingsworth, and Carrie Morgan, who are here today, and the rest of the WashU crowd. Thank you. Conceptually, the study is influenced by the ICF, which, as many of us know, emphasizes the dynamic interaction between contextual factors and health conditions that impact participation in all areas of daily life. Many studies have been done that support the influence of the contextual factors as described in the ICF. Persons with mobility impairments have identified many aspects of their lives that are influenced by the environment, including their level of perceived stress, their productivity, their life satisfaction, level of community integration, the need for personal assistance, and particularly choice of community destinations, meaning that the accessibility of the environment influences where and when they go and they participate in the community. And while this research recognizes the influence of the environment on participation, many studies do not capture the interaction of the person and the environment the way that it is conceptualized in the ICF. Current studies frequently measure capacity and not performance and participation, making it difficult to understand if someone who reports the capacity to access the environment is actually doing so in their day-to-day life. Additionally, many studies assess only barriers but not facilitators, and according to the ICF, we need to be looking at both barriers and facilitators to understand how both of these things can facilitate or hinder participation. And lastly, many of assessments of the environment, in particular the built environment, measure only compliance to arbitrary standards that are described in the ADA, which may not necessarily produce good design or accessible design that can facilitate participation. And then expanding on that last limitation, I'm going to spend a minute on this slide. We need to be cognizant of who is measuring the environment and for what purpose. Currently, there's a gap between objective assessments of environmental features in the built environment and the subjective reports of persons who actually experience the environment in their day-to-day life. Objective measurements of the environment are often completed by a trained rater or professional, and they address legal standards of accessibility, but they don't really give much consideration to how people are actually interacting with the environment. They're based on sort of a set of measures of door widths and turning radiuses and things of that sort, but they're not really thinking about how people interact and use that space. And then subjective measurements of the environment are often completed by a person with a disability, in this case a mobility impairment, and they might get some insight into the personal experience of that person, and usually a self-report, but these results are kind of difficult to quantify into actual numbers or to translate these results into actions such as environmental modifications. And so I'm proposing that we need to look at the objective and subjective assessments together. The literature demonstrates that assessments of the environment need to be completed by trained professionals who understand the built environment and also people with disabilities who experience the environment in their everyday lives. And additionally, community-level research has indicated that we need to be representing people who actually live in and interact in that community, and they should be involved in the assessment to get a better perspective. So after analyzing the literature and current assessment methods, it came to the conclusion that the following features were important for my study. I wanted to look at participation within a meaningful activity in the community. I wanted to be looking at both an objective and subjective perspective of the environment, and then also to consider the influence of some personal factors and environmental factors on participation, because as we all know, these things don't really exist in absence of each other. So based on these criteria, I developed my research questions, which were, what is the relationship between a subjective survey and an objective assessment in measuring facilitators to participation? And the second, based upon a subjective perspective, are environmental factors a stronger predictor than personal factors in determining participation in a specific community activity? A little wordy there, I know. But okay, so my design is an exploratory design to look at the two separate sets of relationships, the first being the relationship between the physical environment as measured by an objective assessment and participation in the environment as captured by a subjective report, and the second relationship being between perceived environmental factors, personal factors, and then quality of participation, which I will describe in greater depth later. My sample included community-dwelling adults that use an assistive device for mobility and reside in the greater St. Louis area. And so to answer my research questions, as I stated, I used a subjective and an objective assessment. Subjective measure was the Community Participation and Perceived Receptivity Survey, the CPPRS, which is completed by a person with a mobility impairment. The measure was designed to capture the perceived experience of participation at community destinations. It has three scales: temporal, personal, and evaluative. Temporal meaning how much time do you spend in a particular activity. Personal meaning how much do certain factors such as pain and fatigue limit your participation in an activity. And then also an evaluative scale meaning how much do importance, choice, and satisfaction impact your participation. The objective assessment for my study was the Community Health Environmental Checklist. This assessment was administered by a trained rater, in this case myself. It measures the ecological receptivity of specific destinations, which means, as we've defined at WashU, can a person with a disability, mobility impairment, can they enter the building, do what they need and want to do inside that building, and then exit safely and easily. And the check has several sections to assess the various features of a building or a site. So just to revisit my first research question, what is the relationship between a subjective survey and an objective assessment in measuring facilitators to participation? So initially, 119 participants completed the subjective CPPRS, which asked respondents to rate the importance of and the frequency of visiting several community destinations. 90.7% of participants stated that the grocery store was one of the top five most important places to visit on a monthly basis when given the choice of 8 destinations in the community. And grocery stores were also found to be the most commonly frequented site of my sample, with 85.7% stating they had been to the grocery store at least once in the past month. So based on these results, I chose grocery shopping at the grocery store as my community activity for further investigation, because we just really wanted to capture a place where people were actually going in their day-to-day life. Okay, so just to kind of illustrate the process, I'd like to walk you through the survey process. So as I just mentioned, 119 participants completed the CPPRS. Of those respondents, 107 identified the grocery store as very important. 76 of those respondents had actually visited the store in the last month, and they were able to provide the name and the address of the specific location where they participated in grocery shopping. So based on those 76 responses, 43 unique grocery stores were identified because some of the participants had stated that they went to the same store. So 43 unique grocery stores were identified. And so then I then visited each store and completed the check to better understand the ecological receptivity at each site. So now on to the results. My subjective survey respondents included 76 people aged 18 to 74 years with an average age of 48.8 years. The majority of the participants were female and white, but we also had a very significant portion that were African American. The most common pre-brain diagnoses included spinal cord injury, cerebral palsy, other unidentified diagnosis. And all participants used a device for mobility, mostly power wheelchair or cane crutch walker, which we grouped those together. So then using the location information, as I explained, from the CPPRS, we identified 43 unique grocery stores, and this map just shows the geographic distribution of the stores in the St. Louis area. Did a lot of driving in those months. Okay, so subjective CPPRS results indicated that the attitudes of others at the grocery store and the accessibility of the store either help some or help a lot when grocery shopping, which indicated to me that we are looking at both the built environment and the social environment as important facilitators to community participation. And then in looking more specifically at features of the built environment that influence participation, over 80% of participants identified automatic doors, wide aisles, and curb cuts as facilitators to the participation in grocery shopping. Participants were much less likely to identify accessible counters, accessible restrooms, reachable merchandise, or loaner scooters as facilitators, with 50% or less of them saying that these items were available and helpful. So the colors that you see on these bars represent, they correspond to the colors of the check, which you will see in a moment. The objective check results support the findings of the subjective survey. Restrooms were not likely to be reported as a facilitator, and they also scored very poorly on the objective assessment. And also, just to point out, although amenities scored very highly, a lot of the questions on the check were not applicable to the grocery store, and so therefore this may disproportionately represent the actual presence of amenities at the store. And then if you look at the entering the building and the inside the building sections were also scored very highly overall, but if you look at more specific features, which we'll do in a moment, you can see that there are several things that still are barriers in the store. Specific features with the highest scores in the check were flat entrances and automatic doors, single-level building, a smooth flat surface, and adequate lighting. But conversely, reachable counters and merchandise in the restrooms were the features with the lowest scores. And these items, again, were very unlikely to be scored highly on the subjective assessment. And so to analyze the overall relationship between the two scores of the assessments, a canonical correlation was performed. The first correlation analyzed the relationship between the scores of 10 built environment features described on the CVPRS and 10 selected items from the check. The scores on these selected items were highly correlated, positively correlated, indicating that there was a relationship between the built environment features present on the objective and the subjective assessment. A second correlation was performed to analyze the relationship between what I've termed as the non-built environment features from the CVPRS and the check. And I describe non-built environment features as items that describe the quality of participation, so including things like importance, choice, satisfaction, attitude, some of the other social environment factors. And this correlation was not significant, indicating that the results of the objective environmental assessment are not necessarily related to the experience of participation in that environment. And then just my second research question, based on a subjective survey, are environmental factors a stronger predictor than personal factors in determining quality of participation? And so the factors in this analysis were taken from the subjective survey only, so the CVPRS, and they included the environmental factors of perceived attitudes of others, perceived accessibility of the site, the personal factors of self-reported pain and fatigue, and EQOP, which is a formula that's a function of choice, satisfaction, and importance. And so using Pearson correlation analysis, a weak but significant inverse correlation was found between pain in EQOP and fatigue in EQOP, which basically indicates that the more pain and fatigue you have, the lower the quality of your experience in grocery shopping. A positive correlation was found between attitudes in EQOP, meaning that the more helpful the perceived attitudes of the store personnel, the higher the quality of participation. So additionally, the attitudes of store personnel may be mediating some of the effects of the pain and fatigue that's experienced. Multiple regression analysis were performed to explore the collective and separate effects of personal factors and environmental factors on the evaluative quality of participation, the EQOP. Environmental factors alone were not a significant predictor of EQOP at grocery stores, but the collective effects of environmental factors and personal factors were a significant predictor and counted for 15.8% of the variance. In the presence of these four predictors, attitudes was the strongest predictor, followed by the personal factors of fatigue and pain. Accessibility, which contributed the least to the model, was fairly consistent across all the stores. The lack of variability in the grocery store accessibility may be one explanation for this, but additionally, this finding might support the idea that providing basic level access alone will not lead to improved participation. And so to discuss the conclusions of this study, first, the results of this study provide evidence important to understanding which environmental factors influence one type of community participation by individuals with lower limb mobility impairments. Investigating where individuals are currently going in their lived environments and what factors contribute to the participation at those sites contributes a new body of knowledge that is in line with the framework outlined in the ICF. And secondly, individuals with mobility impairments do participate in the community when they find participation at a site of great importance, even when reporting some barriers. And so that may be cause for future research to understand how and why they overcome those barriers at those very important sites. And then overall, the grocery stores provided basic access, which may be due primarily to the fact that stores are designed for people pushing carts on wheels. So you can imagine that it's therefore designed better for wheelchairs. However, features that individuals with lower limb mobility impairments actually interact with to engage in grocery shopping were very inadequate overall. And this is not a new situation. I actually found a study published in 1989 that some occupational therapists completed looking at food store accessibility, and they found the biggest barriers to be the restrooms and the counters, which are the same things that I found in my study 17 years after the passing of the ADA. So I think the results of these studies indicate that the functions of a space are more important to consider when looking at how the environment influences participation than determining just compliance to the arbitrary standards. And lastly, I think this study provides proposed method of assessment of the environment that considers both the compliance standards and the experience of people with mobility impairments that are interacting with the environment. So the administration of a subjective and an objective assessment are both necessary to truly understand the person-environment interaction and the outcome of participation. And just because I'm short on time, I'll just let you know that there are some limitations to my study, which I can discuss with you further. And we are considering some ideas for future research, including trying to implement an intervention phase based on study findings at particular stores and particular features, trying to expand maybe the survey methodology to other groups. As we've just learned from the previous presentation, a lot of people with various different types of disabilities and health conditions experience a lot of problems interacting with the environment. So looking at this across disability groups. And then also thinking about how we develop our surveys and trying to be more activity-based in our surveys that assess the environment, not just looking at ADA compliance standards. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jackie. That was